Back everybody to Amud Yomi. Today we're up to Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis 42B, and we are on the bottom by the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So this Mishnah is going to be the last Mishnah, at least for now, in terms of Mishnah. We're then going to get into Hilchos Muktzah. One thing which Tosas talks about on this Mishnah, and we'll talk about it maybe a little more as we go on, but the status of Irui Kli Rishon. We've spoken about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, but what's the status if you pour something from a Kli Rishon onto something else? What's the status of that? Is that going to be cooking? Is that like a Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni? So this is a big three-way machlokas that's very important to know. So first sheet is the sheet of the Rashbam, that Irui Kli Rishon is treated like a Kli Sheni. Then the Ri says, no, it's treated like a Kli Rishon because it's still very hot. Tosas points out that there's another shita, which is it's mevashal kedei klipa, that it cooks the outer layer but not the inner layer. Why is this important? If it cooks, it cooks. Many of the posts can bring up if someone wants to go and heat up a baby bottle on Shabbos. So you're going to heat it up in hot water. So if it only cooks the outer layer, cooking plastic's not a problem on Shabbos, so you would be allowed to heat a baby bottle on Shabbos through Irui Kli Rishon. Now, it's important to know that this is all about cooking or heating up solids. But what about liquids? This is where it becomes the shiloh of the second cup of tea, where you're filling up your second cup of tea, but there's still a few droplets left. So how does this work? What's considered cooking? There's no klipa, there's no outer layer, so we don't know what's considered cooking. So some say it gets mixed right in. Tosas has a bigger discussion right here, but this is where the discussion of Irui Kli Rishon is. Now comes the Mishnah. So if you have a frying pan or a pot that was just removed from the fire from a Kli Rishon, lo yitain lesof on tavlin, you should not add spices to them because it's still very hot and it's still going to be cooking. Aval no sein hu lesoch ha-ka'ara o lesoch ha-tamplay, but you are allowed to add spices to hot food in some sort of bowl or other type of vessel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, la-kohu no sein, you're allowed to add spices to anything, chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, except for anything containing vinegar or fresh brine, because those things cook very quickly. Now the Gemara says, this Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who seemed to come and have a different shita, is he being machmir or is he being makel? So ask the Gemara Yibayilu, Rabbi Yehuda Aresha Kai Ulukula. So is Rabbi Yehuda saying, on the first shita of the Mishnah, which said that you're not allowed to do it at all, you're not allowed to put anything into a pot that was just taken off the fire, is that where Rabbi Yehuda is coming and saying you're allowed to do everything except for vinegar and fish brine? Or Odoma Asefa Kai Uluchamra? Or is he going on the second part where it said that you're allowed to put any spices into a bowl or any type of vessel that's not like the direct pot? But Rabbi Yehuda then comes and says, no, we're going to put a limit to this. Really, you're allowed to do anything, it's true, except for vinegar and fish brine. So which one is it? Is it lekula or is it lechumra? So comes the Gemara and answers, Tashma d'tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lechol ilfasin, hu nosin, lechol kderos roskin, hu nosin, chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. Seems like he's going on the first shita, meaning he's coming as a kula. Initially, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to put anything into a pot when it comes right off the fire. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are allowed to do anything except for vinegar or fish brine. We do not paskin like this, Rabbi Yehuda, but interesting to see Rabbi Yehuda's shita nonetheless. So Savar Rav Yosef Lemei Marmel Harehu Ketavun. Now the Gemara goes to Rav Yosef and says, he used to think, or he thinks, he's inclined to say, that salt is similar to spices, meaning that salt would cook. To be kli rishon basha, that if you put it into a kli rishon, it's going to cook, and it's going to be a problem. With a kli sheni, lo basha, but if you put it into a kli sheni, it will not cook. Amar le'abai, Abai said, Tani Rabbi Chia taught, melach eina ketavlin, that salt is not similar to spices. To be kli sheni, nami basha, it's even more easily cooked than spices, so even in a kli sheni, it's going to cook. Upligad Rav Nachman, this goes against the sheet of Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishla kebistra de Torah. That salt is as intensive cooking as the meat of an ox, which means that the meat of an ox barely even cooks in a Kli Rishon, so salt is something also which barely even cooks in a Kli Rishon, so there's a big machlokas as the status of salt. Does it cook easily? Does it cook in a very difficult way? How exactly does it cook? We'll talk about it in a minute. Yikada Amrei, and there are those who have a different version of the Gemara we just said. Tzavar Rav Yosef Lemeimar Melech Harehu Ketavlin. Rav Yosef wanted to say that salt is similar to spices. The Kli Rishon Bashal, the Kli Sheni Lo Bashal, that it cooks in a Kli Rishon and not a Kli Sheni. Amar Le Abai, Abai said, Tani Rabbi Chiya, that it's not similar to spices. It doesn't even cook in a Kli Rishon. How do we know this? That salt needs as intense cooking as meat of an ox. So the question is, what do we hold of salt nowadays? It's something that cooks easily. So there's another idea in Hilchos Bishul. We didn't really discuss it here, but the Marashal has a whole idea of something called a davar gush. Let's say you have a thing of cholin on your plate. So even though it's not a Kli Rishon, if you have a solid piece of food or a big hot piece of meat. So if you have this piece of meat, that itself might be considered like a Kli Rishon. Now, we don't necessarily hold like this. The Rama doesn't seem to hold like this. But it's a thing brought lehalacha nonetheless. Or you got to put salt into a Kli Rishon. Or you got to put it in there. Even putting salt into a soup fried or whatever it may be, into something. Or you got to put salt into a Kli Rishon. So Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it can't cook so easily, but it depends on the salt. Many of the poskim seem to say most of our salts nowadays are considered pre-cooked, so maybe you wouldn't have to worry about salt, but this is where the sugya of salt comes up. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is now going to be referring to Muktzah. We're up to the Muktzah part of this parak. Says the Mishnah, you are not allowed to put a vessel under a lamp to catch the oil in it. Why are you not allowed to do this? Rashi has two shitas as to why you cannot do this. First shita is that you can't move a kli litzorech Muktzah. You're not allowed to move a vessel that is purposely for the purpose of Muktzah, and that's it. That's one shita. Or his second shita is that this is something which is called mevata kli mehechan, which means that you have a usable bowl right now, and it's something which you would be allowed to use on Shabbos, but now, because the oil is going to be dripping into it, you are now making it a basis ledavar ha'asr. You're making it something which is containing an iser item, something which is mukta, and you are not allowed to use this anymore. And there's an iser derabanan to take a kli, to take something which can be used and make it unusable. Machlokas as to why exactly that is, but you're not allowed to make something unusable. Now, it's important to know that something can become mukta on Shabbos, like there's a beitza shenolda. If a baby is born to a chicken, an egg, they have an egg. So something could become mukta on Shabbos, but it can't become unmukta on Shabbos. If something is mukta by bein hashmashos on Friday night, it's going to be mukta throughout Shabbos, so we need to make sure we do not create a situation where we are making it muktzah. That would be the reason why this is an issue. The imnis anua mibod yom mutter, but if someone put it there while it was still daytime, then it's going to be allowed. The ein neyusan mimenu, but you're not allowed to benefit from this oil at all. Ofisha ino min amuchan, because it's not something that was prepared specifically for Shabbos use. That's really what the definition of muktzah is. We use it as a general thing for mukta toys, not allowed on Shabbos, not this. Muktzah is something which is not prepared or set aside for Shabbos. So now the Gemara goes and analyzes our Mishnah. Amar Rav Chista says, Afa pisham roi nosnum kli tachas tarnagolos l'kabal bitzasa. Rav Chista said that even though they said that you're not allowed to put a vessel under a hen in order to receive her egg and stop it from rolling down an incline, stop it from rolling down a cliff, let's say the chicken hadn't laid an egg and it's going to be going down a hill and it's going to break. So even though you are not allowed to put a vessel in that situation, but if the chicken laid an egg on a flat ground, you are allowed to put some sort of kli over it, like a bowl over it, so that way no one's going to step on it. So ask the Gemara, Amar Abba, my time is Rav Chista. So what's the difference in the cases over here? Why would the case where you're stopping it from rolling down the hill not be allowed, but the case where you are stopping people from stepping on it, why would that be allowed? So answers the Gemara, Kasavar Tarnagolos he holds that it's more likely that hens and chickens lay eggs in a similar place that is flat grounds, where the main danger is that it could be crushed. They don't normally go and lay eggs on an incline where it would just roll off, and that's how it would break. And they would allow a normal type of danger, which is the fact that people might step on it. So for that, the Chachamim say that you're allowed to go and prevent that from happening. But for some sort of strange prevention, that would not be allowed. Now, the Gemara is going to go and have a lot of questions on this, and that's what we are going to do tomorrow. But this is Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.